Hello and welcome back to the You Out Loud podcast. I am your host, Mindy Hancock, and I am so excited that you're here. And I am really excited to let you know that we have a guest on the show. Yes, you heard it. We have an interview back. We have a good conversation with someone else. I've been doing a lot of solo episodes lately, but I am super excited to start bringing back interviews and guest speakers that I feel like are so pertinent in this world that we're in today, and that's going to really bring you a lot of value. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest today. Her name is Christy Hayes, and Christy is the wife of Grant and mom to Holden and Carter May. She is the founder of Be Strong Story, a company dedicated to helping others be love in their communities. Her passions include helping families love and serve the most vulnerable in their communities. She is the author of her first children's book called The Lunchbox Note, a story of loving others based on her family's true story, and hosts a weekly podcast called Be Love. She is a frequent contributor to Today's Parents and loves walking alongside other parents. She has worked with families and youth for over 15 years. Other fun jobs have included working on Capitol Hill and in the White House Press Advance Office during George W. Bush's presidency. Her family currently resides in Waco, where you can find them hiking, mountain biking, or carpooling both of their kids to soccer and gymnastics. I cannot explain to you how excited I am to have you listen to this episode. We talk a lot about that being love and loving others and what that looks like and how to help cultivate that in your families and the people that you're around in your community, but also Christy gets really vulnerable in this episode, and I am so thankful that she felt, first of all, safe to do that in this space, but also that she felt that it was important to have my listeners, you guys, hear her heart in this. So guys, I'm going to quit talking. We're going to get right into it because I promise you it's going to be such a good episode for you to listen to. So let's jump right in to episode 15 of the You Out Loud podcast. I will see you inside. Hey there, friend, and welcome to the You Out Loud podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Hancock, and I am so glad you are listening in today. Authenticity truly happens when you let go of all the things you think you need to be. Each episode, we'll talk everything from mindset, motivation, inspiration, tough love, anxiety, mental health, and so much more. Rest assured, you can take the tools and strategies in this podcast and apply them to start living your most purposeful life out loud. All right, let's settle in for the goodness that is to come in this episode. Hey friend, can we chat for just a second? I promise it won't take very long, but I just have a couple questions for you. Are you a worrier? Do you often find yourself in a worry spiral? I totally understand where you're coming from, and I know exactly what you're feeling. Worry creates a narrative in our minds that isn't always real. Struggling with worry is even harder when we are stressed, anxious, or feeling out of control. To help navigate these feelings, I recommend journaling to my clients as a way to help work through, release, and gain control over their worries. If you are struggling right now, you are not alone, and I am here to help. Journal Away Your Worries is my free resource that I am so excited to share with you. This resource has 30 done-for-you journal prompts to help you create space and energy to spend on the things you love instead of worrying. So head to the link in the show notes. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am super excited to bring an interview back, and today we have Christy Hayes. So welcome, Christy.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. If you guys are listening right now, you've already heard her bio and kind of like the who she is, what she does, but I still want you guys to hear it from her. And like, I love to hear your story and just kind of like what's led you to this point that where you're standing and wanting to share the message that you're sharing on the Be Strong story. So if you will go ahead and just give us an introduction of who you are, what you do, what led you to this point, whatever you feel like is pertinent to the listeners, please share it. We are here to listen. I don't care how long it is. Just go ahead and let us know who you are.
Okay, perfect. I'm like, how far do you want me to go back? So we live in Waco, Texas. That's how Mindy and I got to know each other. And Waco is new for us. So we recently moved from Colorado. And then before that, we were in St. Louis. And then before that, we were in Oklahoma City. And then before that, we were in Washington, D.C. And so we've kind of gone all over the place. My husband was former Secret Service, and we met on an airplane, actually, and our first kind of journey together was in Washington, D.C. So he worked for the president, and then I did some press advance for George W. Bush, and we kind of did our life there, and then we had children and moved to Oklahoma City, where I was a youth pastor there, and kind of just did life in different places and kind of moved all over. But where we are today, kind of, and what I'm doing today, we have two kids. Carter May is 9 and Holden is 13, which is so weird to say that he is a teenager. And we have a company called Be Strong Story. So what that is and why it came about is it was actually inspired from a lunchbox note that my husband wrote my son about 5 years ago. Holden was struggling on the playground with a friend. And at the time, Grant traveled quite a bit. And I was at the point where, I don't know, a lot of moms might feel like this, where the last thing I wanted to do was make a lunch for somebody. It is, to me, making lunches is the worst. Like when my kids can make their own lunch, I was like, this is the best day ever. So I remember, like, it was in the middle of the school year, like they were getting like nothing for lunch. I was like, here, just eat this. You're not going to die. It's going to be fine. And I remember like at the first of the year, I was like, I'm going to write all these inspirational lunchbox notes and they're going to be so inspired. And then, you know, in the middle of the year, you're done with that. Like you barely get anything in there. So I remember telling my husband what was going on the playground for Holden and that he was just sad. And he wrote this very specific on a Sharpie, on literally a napkin. And the three things said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone. And the thing is that Holden usually throws away everything in his lunchbox because he doesn't want me to know he doesn't eat it. And so, but he happened to come home that day with the lunchbox note in there. I didn't even know that Grant had written that. And it just took me by surprise. And number one, I was like, this is the most amazing note. And I loved how succinct it was. Like for me, I would have written like this long, you know, paragraph. But for Grant, it was just like the three things. And that really started a journey for us to really see what that would look like, to live that out. And so teaching our kids just to be strong in who they are, who God has created them to be, their gifts and their talents. My kids are different. All kids are different and quirky in their own ways. But just to figure out how to embrace that now as in a young age. So then when they get our age, they have already started to feel confident in who they are. And protect the weak, just, you know, I have this phrase that I say to my kids is eyes wide, light shine. And really it's just keeping our eyes wide open. And so I always tell my kids, wherever you are, like just scan the room. Is everyone being taken care of? Mm-hmm. And so protecting the weak is just noticing who might need a little bit of extra love and light from you and to go give that to them. And that could be their friend, to the homeless, to whoever it is. And it's also teaching our kids like, hey, you're going to be weak sometimes too, and you're going to need to ask for help. So protect the weak was the second line, and then love everyone, which is the hardest. And that's, you know, for this specific instance with Holden as a little boy in the playground, it was, you know, we understand that you're not being treated very nicely, but we're still called to love through that. And so it was just kind of figuring that out with him, help those who might be going through the same thing. And so it really just changed our life. We started a company where we really did apparel with this phrase on it. This was kind of an accident. People were like, we love this phrase. We want it to be our mission and motto. Could you like make us some t-shirts? And I was like, great, let's do it. So we figured it out. And we ended up partnering with the homeless shelter in Colorado, which was a huge dream of mine. And they actually printed all of our stuff. Since we've moved to Waco and COVID, we no longer do print apparel, but we've done, we just finished a children's book last year, which has this story in it. And my heart and dream is to bring other families along, to get in uncomfortable spaces and to build kinship and friendship with those who are different than them, and to learn from them. And so that has kind of been the trajectory. And then we have a podcast. Our second season will be debuting in the middle of September, where we really share stories of those who are living out love in big and small ways. And this new podcast, we're partnering with a network called Christian Parenting. So it'll be more geared towards parents, where we're teaching our kids, number one, that we're examples of loving and light to others. And then we're teaching our kids how to be that in their communities, with people who are different than them, all those different things. So yeah, so that's kind of what we're doing now and trying to survive the heat of summer in Waco.
Right. Oh my goodness. And it's like, first of all, I was just talking with my husband about how, like, I feel like we haven't quite had a summer yet. Like, I know is this your first official summer in Waco? No, you had last summer.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we really haven't had like our, you know, consecutive 3-digit heat yet. And so this week was like the first time I feel like we've really hit that. And it's rough, but
yeah.
I mean, I feel like, I don't know if this means that we're going to have like 3 digits for like till September or October. Who knows? Probably. It's crazy. You never know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So first of all, thank you for sharing that. I love hearing the story behind everything that you have done and how it's kind of just, it was something so simple that led to something so much bigger, and like just creating a mission for not only you, but your kids and your family, and then living that mission out to help other people. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about like how you, so the loving everyone part, that's something that I feel like I really want to dig in a little bit to, because that's hard.
Yeah.
And I know that we you know, as a Christian, we think, you know, we need to love everyone. That's what God, you know, wants us to do. We want to be like him. And so it's hard. I'm just going to be really honest. So I started a book, and I'll tell you, you may have already read it, but it's called Everybody Always by Bob Goff. It is a really triggering book to read when you have people in your life that are like kind of hard to love sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's so like self-confronting as well to really really ask yourself those hard questions as to why am I not able to show love to maybe a certain person, or why should I show love? Is it, so how are you, first of all, teaching your children that everyone is deserving of love and respect and kindness, but not only that, but like modeling it and showing it to them for them as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard. I think it's hard all around, especially in our climate right now. Like I've never seen dissension, even amongst like, you know, Christians, people who you are on the same page with, you thought, and then it's like, it's so much dissension. And so I would say that this last year of COVID, the election, all those things have brought up so much that has been super hard. I mean, I don't just like wake up every day and I'm like, oh, children, you know, love everyone and love each other. You know, it is hard. And it is, you know, I think first of all, one of my favorite phrases is it's more caught than taught. And so I could tell my kids all day long, this is what you should do. You should love everyone, even if that kid's mean to you, even if that person said these things, even if we don't agree with those people, blah, 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 blah. But if they don't physically see me share love to the person who, you know, flipped me off in the, like literally yesterday, like this girl, I think I cut her off and she flipped me off and I didn't realize what I had done. And, you know, just having the kids in the car and kind of having to be able to say what might've been going through my head, but to say, okay, this is how we really need to talk to this person or to think about this person. So I think it's just every day having to have these conversations with the kids and then them seeing what you're doing. Are you treating the person that took forever at the cash, you know, the cashier that she took forever because of something, like, is that frustrating, or are we treating them in love and respect? And I think, it's literally a day-to-day thing for us. It's not like an everyday we just wake up and I'm like, oh, just love everyone. But I think it is something that we've done enough and we've tried to do enough that it starts to seep into our kids. And even though we might not agree with someone, or their opinions might be different, or they might look different, or whatever, we try to say, like, everyone is welcome here, mm-hmm. everyone. And everyone is loved here because everyone was made by God and everyone has a story. And just because they're treating people like this or because they're acting like this, there is a story behind that action. There is a hurt or a pain behind that. And so it's just, you know, perspective. I think what has changed my life is being with people who are different than me, sitting with the homeless, sitting with the vulnerable, and truly hearing their story. And so, like, maybe judgment or perspectives that I've had, not knowing anything about them, not being in their life, not walking in their shoes, have completely changed when you sit down with someone and you hear their life story and you go, oh, that's why. And so trying to get my kids in those places with me and to sit with me, or if I have a story with someone or have a conversation, to share that with them and to say, here's maybe why people think the way they do or why they're acting the way, because these are the things that happen to them. And we may never understand that. And so it's loving them through that. So I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but I think the more practice that we have and the more conversations we have with people and the more we try to look at their perspective and what they've gone through, then your heart starts to shift and your heart starts to become more open and you start to give a little more grace to the things that you would have been like, ah, before. It just starts kind of heaping grace on those things.
Yeah. And I'm going to kind of tell you what's going through in my mind as you're telling me that, because coming from an education background, I was in the classroom and now I'm a school counselor. So I work with kids. And so I'm always constantly thinking about what am I doing to show them, like when I'm teaching them or trying to show them to show love or kindness to that kid on the playground that is different. What am I doing on my own in my, you know, day-to-day life at school to show them that. So not just tell them that, to show them that. And one thing that you said that I love to do with kids is having that conversation out loud, even with myself. Like, okay, let me tell you what happened yesterday and how this, and tell them my own personal experiences too, and share with them and kind of almost talk out loud with them about a situation or an incident, and let them help me figure out, like, how could have I shown love or how could have I shown kindness, so they can kind of start connecting the two. Because I think a lot of times it's something that I feel, especially sometimes at school, I'm seeing kids that these things that I'm maybe wanting to promote or teach them, they're not necessarily something that they're being taught at home. Sure. You know, so they may see a parent in line at the grocery store that gets really flustered and frustrated and maybe acts on some of those feelings from the person in front of them taking a long time. And it's just, like you said, it's a perspective shift. And sometimes because we're human, we can get so frustrated and mad. And it was funny because I like to look at my memories on like Instagram and stuff like that, just to see like, what was I doing? And I recently saw that a couple of years ago, I was in line at Starbucks. And if you know, once you get in at Starbucks, you can't get out. So like you're stuck in there. I don't care how long that line is going to sit. But I remember I was talking about my purpose of it was not to say, hey, I paid for the person's coffee behind me. But the reason why I was talking about it is the girl behind me was very irritated the entire time. And I could see in my mirror, she was like throwing up her hands at me because I couldn't scoot up any further to let her get to the speaker. And she was like just getting really agitated and sticking her head out the window and like throwing her hands up and doing all this. And in my head, you know, initially my human response is, what's your problem? Like, I want to say like, what's your problem? Right? Like I can't scoot up anymore. And I had to take that second to go, I don't know what's wrong. Like, what has she been through today that has caused her to feel this upset in the Starbucks line? What has she been through in her life? Like, what is she carrying with her? And so instead of saying, you know, being rude back and just being ugly, instead I just decided, you know what, I'm going to pay for her coffee and hope that it blesses her. And, you know, not in a passive aggressive way, but in a way that like, I hope it blesses you in whatever's going on in your life today. And so I think that's hard sometimes to do because, like you said, we want to, sometimes our human reaction kind of takes takes precedent sometimes, and we want to like throw up our hands back. So, but even like you said, showing your kids that sometimes that's what you want to do, but this is what we should do.
Right. And you probably, you know, with you just doing that, probably shut down what could have been an entire day of anger and frustration for her. You know what I mean? Like if you would have looked back at her and been like, what, you know, like probably like you wanted to do, I mean, that would have ruined her day. That would have just kept on and she probably would have done the same thing to everyone. But I guarantee you doing that probably made her stop that behavior to other people. And I always like, I was looking back at some of my old blog posts and one of the questions that I used to ask myself was like, these questions during the, like, how can I make, when someone leaves my presence, how can I make them feel better about themselves? Mm-hmm. Like when they leave me, do they have like a lightness in their step? Do they feel encouraged? You know, is there a way that I can brighten someone's day today? I used to have them on sticky notes. I probably need to do this again. This is a good reminder for me, but I used to have them on sticky notes just on my computer, just to kind of remind me like, what is my intention for the day? What is my purpose? Like to build on behalf of others, to mm-hmm. love others well. And these are just some like little intentional ways, that maybe I can do that. And I think if everyone had that intention, you know, every day to brighten someone's day or to encourage someone or just leave someone a little bit better than they came to them. Mm-hmm. I think it really would change, you know, change the trajectory of how people feel about themselves and how they treat others.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes me, I want to ask you this question just because I am often talking about kindness in my personal job, you know, and kindness and love and empathy and all those things. And I want to actually kind of lead into that empathy and kindness. And I feel like they all kind of go together, but empathy in particular, because I know that along with all of this, you're teaching children to love everyone, be strong, protect other people. But empathy, I feel like, is something that, you know, a child is not necessarily born with. Like we have to mm-hmm. teach them what true empathy looks like. And what are your thoughts on empathy? And like, I feel like there is a lack of empathy from even adults at this point. I feel like a lot of times we don't really know there's like, I heard this quote one day, like to an explanation of like the difference between apathy, sympathy, and empathy. And like, mm-hmm. it really stuck with me. And I tell my students this as well, but like apathy is like, if it's raining outside and like you see someone going out in the rain and your thought is, that sucks. At least it's not me. But then sympathy is like, oh, it's raining. Here's a umbrella, you know, and I'll give you an umbrella. Mm-hmm. But then empathy is I'll walk with you in the rain, like really feeling what it is like to be out there in that storm. And so that was a really good way for me to like look at it. And so what is your thoughts on empathy and just like teaching children about empathy? And it's, I know it goes along with loving others and protecting the weak, but I really am trying to, I really want to be able to shift that focus from like that. There's that fine line between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy, we can feel for someone all day long, mm-hmm. but, and say, I'm sorry for what you're going through, or, mm-hmm. you know, I'm here if you need me, but there's something different where it shifts into empathy and teaching others how to like truly feel what, like get in someone else's shoes.
Yeah. I think you're right on. Like sympathy is easy, right? You say, I'm sorry. And then you send a meal and then you walk away, you know? You did your deed. That's easy. And we love to do that. That's probably where we feel the most comfortable. Empathy, what I'm learning about empathy is that that's where you sit in the uncomfortable grief and pain with someone. And that is uncomfortable. And that is awkward because we love to fix things and we love to have advice and all the scriptures and all the things. And usually empathy is just sitting with someone and saying, I'm literally just going to be here with you. Like, I don't have an answer for you. I don't have a great little quote for you. But it's sitting with you. And, you know, I might not be able to understand, like when we would work with some of the vulnerable populations, I couldn't say, oh, I totally get what you're going through. I mean, I understand. Oh, I don't, because I will never go through what they've gone through, the abuse and the trauma and those things. But I have gone through grief and I have gone through my own trauma, and to be able to sit with them and say, I know what pain feels like, and I know it's not exactly like yours, but I'm going to sit with you in this. And so it's empathy. And I think for kids, specifically, it's just continuing to put them in other people's lives who are different than them, who see things differently, who have different backgrounds, so that they can start to feel what others feel. If my kids only live in my bubble of my house, in our air conditioning, in our the sports that they do, if they only know that, they only know that. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault. Like, they only know what they know. If I only put them in those circles and only put them in the comfortable bubbles, that's all they know. Mm-hmm. So how do I expect them to be empathetic to someone who goes through a totally different thing? Their heart might hurt for that person, or they might feel sad or sorry. Mm-hmm. But empathy is when they actually go to those places and build friendship and kinship. There's a quote I was looking for, that a guy, that I heard spoke. His name's Jimmy Rollins, and he's this really neat African-American preacher. He was talking about compassion. And I think this also goes with empathy, but his definition is, compassion is putting others' hurts inside my heart. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so, like, that just caught me. I was like, that is compassion. That is empathy. That is what we're trying to teach our kids, you know, in their own way, whether they're 9 or 13 or 16, is that they're learning to see the world, to open their eyes and see other things, hurts and so forth, the things that should not be right in our world. Mm-hmm. And then also how to sit in that with that person and build friendship and kinship, but also, you know, be a light in that. And so it's just all those things. But I think you hit it right on the head with, you know, the empathy and the sympathy. Empathy is hard and a lot of work.
It is. And, you know, I like what you said there about, like, we are, most of the time, we want to help and solve a problem, give a solution, inspire them in some way, give them hope. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can't, there's just situations that we don't have that ability to do that. We don't know how to solve the problem. And we don't know, like you said, I don't know what it's like to go through what you're going through. And sometimes when we say, I know what you're feeling, that can be offensive when it's really not, you don't know what they're feeling. Right. But to be honest and say, look, I don't know how to fix this, but I'm here. Like, mm-hmm. Like that quote you just said was so perfect. And it really just being able to just, I feel like it's such a, just showing that you're human and just have mm-hmm. this human to human connection of love and just being like, I don't know how to fix this. I don't really know what to say to you in this time. Because I think a lot of times that's when there is somebody that we know or somebody that we meet is going through something hard. A lot of times we have that weird, awkward, like, I don't really know what to say, what's appropriate.
Yeah.
That's okay to say, I don't know what to say here. And right. I don't know how to solve this problem, but I'm here and I'm here in this with you. And I think sometimes that's what people just really need. They need to know that you're here. Because sometimes I know that when I'm upset, I'm not comparing, you know, being upset with something to somebody's grief or trauma, but sure. Like sometimes we don't want somebody to fix and we don't need anybody to tell us what to do or how to do it. We just want somebody there.
Right, right. It's like when we go to our husbands with something we're venting and they're like, here are the 12-step process. I'm like, no. I just want you to hear me vent. And I even think with the traumatic, like we in the last 2 years experienced some major grief. We had 3 people in our family who died within 8 months. And that was like, I've not ever had that before. And so it was like, whoa. And the last thing I wanted was someone, and not that this can't come later at a different right. time, but the last thing I really wanted was like, you know, this all happens for a reason. And here's your scripture verse that you can hang on to. And those things all have their place. I'm not saying those aren't good things. But at the time when I was at my deepest sorrow, like that felt so, I don't know. It just, I always say I'm going to write a book of what like not to say to those who are grieving, even when you mean well. But even like, I know you do a lot of stuff with anxiety and depression. And even like for someone who's never experienced anxiety before, and I've experienced that the last couple of years, I think from like a lot of the grief and transition. And it like, I didn't even know what it was. But to hear someone when I'm trying to explain say, well, if you disbelieved this and here's your, you know, here's your scripture. I have a faith background. So it's very easy for someone to say, well, here's your scripture, just believe that. And I'm like, okay, thanks. Thanks so much. You know, like, yeah. But that is not what, even as much as I do believe it and I do know it, that was the last thing that I needed in that, you know, in that moment. And so we'll never get it right. There's never a one-step process of like, this is how you do grief with someone or empathy with someone. But I think one, not being silent, mm-hmm. and getting in there even when you're awkward and not ignoring it. And two, being able to say like, I actually don't know how to fix this or know what you're going through, but I love you and I'm here to sit with you as long as you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I want to shift a little bit into what you said about like just the new feelings that you had in the last, mm-hmm. you know, year to 2 years of like with grief and changes and COVID and all these different things that happened at once and almost like not even understanding your own emotions and anxiety. And just kind of tell, if you want to share, like obviously what within reason, like what you sure. want to share, but I would love to hear, because my listeners, hear me talk a lot about anxiety and stress and overwhelm. And you're right, when a lot of times when we're feeling those feelings, A, if we've never felt them before, we don't know what they are. And then B, when someone's telling us, you know, giving us these scriptures or like, sometimes it's like, here, why don't you try this? Or why don't you try this? Or why don't you just calm down, just take a breath. Like that is not what you didn't say to someone that has anxiety. Like, trust me, if we could just like, take a breath and calm down. Right. We would right now. We would be good. Right. But someone that maybe doesn't have some of those similar sure. thoughts or anxiety, they don't quite know how to empathize.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so it's even so like when I talk a lot about like intrusive anxious thoughts that maybe make no sense at all. Mm-hmm. I'm one that I've always had those. It's just yeah. like something that I've had to deal with my whole life. And I think I'm gonna thank my dad for that because he has them too. But when I finally would. If I ever say any of like, this is what I'm thinking, or this is what I'm worried about, or to my husband, he doesn't worry about things. He's not an anxious person. He's super even all the time. He always like, well, why do you think that way? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like,
yeah, right. I'd love to know.
I would stop it. But right. So just kind of like dive into what you learned about yourself through that process. I would love to know, just because I think, again, with anxiety and stress and overwhelm and mental health, I think that we're talking about it more. Mm-hmm. I feel like since COVID and all that kind of stuff, I feel like it's being talked about more, but I still want it to continue to be mm-hmm. talked about and know that it's okay to struggle. It's okay to not be okay. But the more we talk about it, I think the better we're going to be as a whole on how to support each other.
Right. Yeah. And I think I can tell you what I'm learning through mm-hmm. it, because I'm still in the journey and still kind of really in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. So a couple of years ago, we lived in Colorado, and my father-in-law for about 7 years, struggled with Alzheimer's dementia. So we moved to St. Louis to take care of him. And that was just this ugly, horrible disease to see from a man we loved. And I had the opportunity to be able to take care of him a couple days a week and loved that. So we knew like his time was coming, you know, that was so horrible for anyone families who ever dealt with that. Like my heart goes out to them. It is just so hard. So he passed away, which was obviously something that we knew, you know, was coming, but still it's my husband's best friend. I loved him like a father. We had this really neat relationship. So just, you know, a loss, that's a loss. And then about a week after he passed away, or actually while we were getting ready for his funeral, I got a call from my best friend, one of my best friend's husbands, who said my friend Becky had a brain aneurysm. And she was still alive, but was going to the hospital and they just didn't know. And anyway, 10 days later, she passes away. Mm-hmm. She is remarkable athlete, CrossFit Games athlete, like 6 years mm-hmm. in a row, like pro cyclist. I mean, just like everything. Like this was total shock. So she passes. And then like 6 months later, we found my nephew passed away in his apartment, who we've journeyed with through addiction and rehab and those things. So it was just very like, it, almost like my body was like, okay, we're getting through this. And I don't even know if there's a process. Like, I didn't even know what the process is for grief. But it was almost like that last, like when Dallas passed, and that was a little more probably traumatic, just seeing all that, that it was almost like my body was like, I don't even know how to do that, like how to process that. So I almost feel like that was almost like a blur, and like my counselor, we'll still get back, we'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we're just working through all these other things. And then COVID happened, and we moved from a really beautiful, wonderful place to a place that I didn't think that we would be moving to. And it's hard to obviously build community. So we're grieving these losses, and then we're moving into a new place where we don't really have anyone to grieve. So it was interesting. At the time, I kind of thought I had grieved these, or I'm that kind of person that's like, people know me probably on the outside as being strong and positive, and like, I'm your girl to give you the quotes and the things and whatever. And so this was a very weird place for me to be. And I definitely shared it. It was funny. I shared a very vulnerable post and pretty open book. And I remember someone close to me saying, are you sure you want to let people know like you're struggling with anxiety? And I was like, yeah, I do. I was like, because if anyone needs to share that, I do, because I think people think I'm a certain way. And I think this would be a great relief to them to know that this was something I struggled with. So I started having, I couldn't breathe, which was super weird. Like I couldn't catch a deep breath. I would like yawn a million times to catch a deep breath. And so anyway, I got a counselor, and that helped a bit. And then we kind of had another traumatic thing that happened just recently. And so I feel like I'm all back there. And so I'm definitely going to counseling once a week and, you know, doing all the things, right? Mm-hmm. So like God is my one, and I'm spending time with him in the morning, and I'm, you know, seeping myself in all the things that you know, say, and I'm going to counseling and all those, but those feelings and those huge emotions and sometimes that panic still sets in, obviously. And so I think for people on this journey, especially for those of us who might be new to it or think, oh my gosh, what is going on? Like just to accept that you're here, and like you might be here for a minute. And I, you know, the joke was when I first got into counseling, I'm like, so how long do we have to do this until I'm like back to my joyful, fun self? She's like, okay. She's like, okay, now I know who I'm working with. And that's kind of the thing, is I told my counselor yesterday, I was like, I feel guilty and kind of ashamed for still being in grief or still feeling these stuck thoughts. And she's like, you like, stop, like, mm-hmm. stop putting that pressure on yourself. And I'm a, like, that's my personality. I'm a driven personality. And it's like one thing, like goals and motivation. Mm-hmm. I love all that stuff. And so to feel stuck somewhere is not a great place. And I think also, you know, to tell people like when they maybe have viewed themselves as strong or confident, like other words are now what I identify with right now, mm-hmm. not forever, not for the forever and ever in my life, but right now, like the two words, if I can be very vulnerable, that are the words that fit me at this moment is fragile and weary. Mm-hmm. And I was writing something. It was just like, it almost fits like the perfect dress and the perfect pair of shoes, like fragile and weary. That is what I feel right now. And I have never, ever identified those words with me. And it almost feels wrong. And I won't be here forever. And I know that. And, you know, I think that's a big thing to remember, is like, even though those feelings are so strong right now, and for the first time ever, I feel very fragile and very weary and tired, it's not forever. So that's my hope for people who are listening. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's going to be, it's not forever. There's, my counselor calls it a shadow. There's like a shadow over me. But that shadow will lift. It's going to lift one day. It won't be forever. And so I think just accepting it, like for me to be okay and go, okay, that's actually what it feels like right now. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing all the things that I need to be doing, the counseling, the whatever. But if I just have to sit in that for a bit, like it's okay. And, you know, if we're being you know, spiritual and those kind of things, it is, you know, in our weakness, I know I'm going to see amazing, like not my own strength. And the funny mm-hmm. thing is like, I love my own strength. I don't know that I knew that before. Mm-hmm. I love getting out of things, pulling myself up by my bootstraps and getting it done and, you know, getting the goal accomplished. And I think I have such pride in that. And to not have that is pretty scary and also pretty, I think it's going to be amazing in the end because I'm going to see what I couldn't do on my own, that mm-hmm. I needed Christ and I needed friends and I needed others to get me through this process. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for sharing that and feeling, and just being vulnerable in this space and allowing others to hear you where you are right now, because I think that a lot of times we don't share that often enough. And I think because I feel like it shouldn't be, but it still is, we are talking about it more, but it still can be somewhat taboo.
Sure.
To talk about our feelings and talk about like, hey, I'm not good right now. I know I will be good at some point, but right now I'm in the thick of it and it stinks, you know? Because I don't know, like the way I was raised, we just really didn't talk about our emotions very often. Like it was very, I think about too, the fact that you're like, I'm just going to accept that I'm here and that I feel fragile and weary. This is not something I've ever identified with before in my life. I don't like it, but I'm here and I'm going to sit in it and I'm going to process it the best way that I can so that I can come out on the other side of it. And when I get back to my happy, confident self, I'm going to be able to look back on this and go, all right, I did this. Like I did that. That was hard. Right. But now I have like that grit that I use to get through, like that's something that you're going to be able to use moving forward and to help and serve others. But I also think when you're telling yourself it's okay to feel right now, it's okay to feel fragile and weary. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of how a lot of times when I was a child, and I think about sometimes too, what does little Mindy need sometimes when I'm upset, you know, like, because oftentimes I feel like when a child is crying or upset, we tell them, shh, you know, be quiet. Like you're good. Like it's okay. Like here, you know, try to somehow make them stop. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't need to stop, you know, like we need to feel those feelings and just sit in them and process them and figure out how to navigate this new place that we're in. Because I know that, like you said earlier too, it's like, you don't ever want to hear someone, sometimes you're in a place where you're like, saying like everything happens for a reason and all that kind of stuff. Like it's sometimes just, you're not in the right space to hear that. But at some point when you finally make it through to the other side and you're able, that shadow lifts, like your counselor said, you're gonna be like, yeah, I did that. And I know that there was a purpose for that. Right now I can't see it.
Yeah.
God has a purpose for this. Mm-hmm. Even though it's hard to like really pinpoint and why would anybody want to go through this? No, like it's hard, but I think that just being able to talk about it and the fact that you're vulnerable and sharing that with even your audience and posting about it. Like, I know that some people are like, are you sure you want to tell people that? Right. I know that, but like, we're all human. And I think a lot of times if people see our human, they connect with us better. They're like, oh, wait, she has struggles? Oh, cool. I thought she
it gives
just
them
like
permission.
Yeah.
It gives them permission to feel. And I think even like I would say in faith circles, this has been taboo for so long. And I think that's why I do want to talk about it, because it's something like, you know, even for me, I'm like, oh, was my faith not that strong that I'm dealing with this? Was my faith ever that, you know, like it makes you think all these things, right. Because I don't think our faith communities they're doing so much better, but have done a really good job of this. And I told my counselor the day, I was like, let's just like dig into the most uncomfortable, the most hurtful, because like, I want to do all the hard work now and I want to heal and I don't want to just brush over it to get to the easy part or to feel better. But like, I want to do all the the horrible stuff now, the unbearable feelings now, so that I can experience the long game. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, this healing that I'm going to experience. And then later on, of course, those things are going to pop up and those memories and those thoughts, but I will have done that really hard work mm-hmm. and will know some of those tools to use. And, you know, even when you're in the thick of it, like when you hear the other side stories, like you can't even, it's almost like I almost wish that I could like write a book right now or like do the story right now. Cause you see all the books and all the tools that it's like, well, on the other side. But when you're in the thick of it, even the other side feels so far away. Even if their story was exactly like yours or similar, you're still like, I don't know if I can get to the other side. And I think another thing it's helping me and, you know, that I can be, I'm just trying to find the grateful things, you know, even though like, I almost hate that when people are like, just find the one great, you know, find the one joy or the one grateful thing in it. But it's given me empathy for others who struggle with this on a day-to-day basis. You know, I have friends and I even have family who are struggling with anxiety, depression. Before, I could never enter in with that. I could say, I'm praying for you, but really probably in my head, I was kind of judgy. Like, just like, get over it. Get over it or like find some joy or find the grateful thing today or, you know, all the stupid things that now when I hear it, I'm like, oh my gosh, don't say that. Or I can enter in with people now. And so even if it was just for that, that is like a superpower. Mm-hmm. To have that empathy for someone else who's going through something similar, I know I'll have that forever. And so that's just another way I'm kind of looking at that as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I think just like looking at, yes, this time is not easy, but looking at it in some way, like you're kind of looking at it from a almost like an outside perspective already, as that like in some way this is going to serve you and serve others in the long game. So you're not just like, yes, you're in it right now. And yes, it's not fun, but you're able to think about it in the long run. Like, how is this going to help me? And I love that. We could talk about this all day long. Thank you so much for sharing that. I asked this in a questionnaire, but I want to ask you this here as well, just to kind of have you like, just kind of shift gears a little bit. But I want, if you could just, kind of fill in the blank of, I want to make an impact in this world because I believe.
Because I believe we all can make an impact in the world. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that's why we're here, is to make an impact on others and to love others well. And I think the long answer to that is that everyone impacts someone, whether you're in a huge CEO position or advocate position, or if you're just in your own home, you are impacting someone every single day. And so I love seeing people use their gifts, their talents, their, you know, superpowers or empathy to be able to impact. So I think it's something that everyone can do. And I think we have to.
Right. Right. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. And then also just pulling back the curtain a little bit here and just being vulnerable with where you are. I really, really appreciate it. And I know that the listeners are going to appreciate it as well. If you'll let everyone know where they can find you, hang out with you, get in touch with you, all the things.
Yeah. So our handle is @BeStrongStory. So it's all one word. So Be Strong Story on Facebook, on Instagram. You can find me also on Instagram, Christy Hayes, Be Strong Story. And we have a website, which is bestrongstory.com. It's very easy. All the Be Strong Stories. We'll have our podcast starting in September called, you can listen to all the episodes now. We've been going for a while, but it's called Be Love. And in September, we'll just add a little line that says, Be Love, Do Good. And then we have a children's book, if you're interested, that's called The Lunchbox Note. That's based off of our true life experience. And you can find that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, all those places.
Yeah. And I will put all of the links to everywhere you can find her, the link to buy the book, link to her podcast, all the things. I'll put it in the show notes as well. But thank you so much for being on here. And I know that it will serve the audience well. And you guys go ahead and give her a follow. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much, Christy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the You Out Loud podcast. I hope this episode was able to help you shift your mindset, take the step, or give you the little push you needed. If you loved this episode, don't forget to share it with your friends, tag us on Instagram, or leave us a rating and review over on iTunes. It is truly appreciated, and I do a little happy dance every single time. You are so important, and life is way too short to be playing small. It's time to take a chance on yourself and start living out loud.